Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
If you ever wonder what it's like to drive through a 45-minute car wash, just go drive somewhere this morning. Taking 45 minutes to get to the end of your driveway.
It's raining really, really, really hard.
Crazy. Did you see the lightning show last night, too, this morning?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it looks like we got a band of the red stuff, radar-wise, that's going to keep flopping over us one after another for a while.
If you put soap on your car before you pull out of your
car. That's
what
I did. Covered it in soap. Let it bubble up on the way down, and then let it rinse.
They're saying activity should weaken by mid-morning, but this is traveling east-southeast.
Well, east-southeast is good, right? But
yes.
This band looks long enough like it's going to be bigger problems for the people that already have way too much rain north. What do we know about that?
We know that they are they're still sandbagging. They're preparing for the worst again. Problem, too, Steve, is that there's flash flood warnings still in effect and wind gusts now of 40 miles an hour. Plus, there's still a report of some hail in the far northwestern suburbs morning, too.
If you look at the radar, it looks like this band of dark red, which is the thunder and lightning and the heaviest rain, goes from the Wisconsin border. You know, all the way, Rockford's halfway, you know, this big sweep that comes all the way across the northeastern part of Illinois. Mm-hmm. And it's headed for Indiana and beyond. So, good
go
times.
Away. Rain, go away.
We're inside now, because that's where we do the show from. But if you have to, let's say you've got a traditional 30-minute commute to work or a 20-minute commute to work. If it's a 30-minute commute to work, I'm just going to roughly do the math here. It's going to take you 4 hours and 12 minutes to get to work this morning.
That's the average.
All right, 6:15. Let's do the top six at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
The flood risk continues and spreads south and west. That's the story of the morning. After heavy rains and storms that started mid-evening last night to late evening last night, and then a break overnight, it's back this morning with torrential downpours, heavy commute times, and all the associated stuff that goes with it. It's rain. There's not a lot you can do about it. But you're going to be sitting in it for a while. And I wish you well. As a matter of fact, come here, listeners. Come here. I'll give you a hug. Get up here. Get up here on Steve's lap. Come on, all of you.
By the way, still a 100-plus heat index today, too, going up to 93.
So it's going to be wet and steamy.
Not a good hair day.
And that's a problem for me, as you know. Item number 2, this is a sad story, I'd say the same thing I tweeted out last night. If anybody can kick cancer's ass, it's John McCain. And I thought Lindsey Graham, his very good friend in the United States Senate, said it well when he said, there's very few people who can be diagnosed with malignant brain cancer and go, this isn't the toughest thing I ever dealt with.
Right.
John McCain also had a severe bout of melanoma, where he was in big trouble with that twice. But John McCain diagnosed with an aggressive type of brain cancer. Dr. Kevin Most is going to join us in a few minutes and tell us exactly what he's facing. But I don't like cancer's chances against McCain.
I'm with you there.
He survived a prisoner of war camp, too. So
that's what I'm saying.
Lots of stuff.
Nobody tougher.
Did you read his daughter's social
media
post?
Oh, my gosh.
It's tremendous.
It's just
beautiful.
It's heartbreaking.
It is.
Beautiful.
Next. O.J. Simpson will appear by video in front of a Nevada parole board after 9 years in a state prison. and is expected by most legal experts to get sprung today. He won't get out of prison today if, in fact, the decision is to release him on parole. That won't come until October, so you'll have a chance to hide your wife. Then, weeks after DCFS Director George Sheldon resigned and took a job at the Florida nonprofit, new details are emerging now about, this is charming, insider contract deals and allegations of Sheldon and his top aides management during his tenure at the scandal plague DCFS. Stuff that appears to, on the surface, rise to criminality that should get him back here quickly to face charges, whether he wants to or not.
Absolutely. The Smajay Crosby story, the sad little story of the little girl and Juliet, was the icing on the cake. And once you dove
that seemed
into
to tip it. Without that, who knows how long this could have gone on.
It really did, Stephen. Yeah. What was most surprising is when, you know, the caseworkers visited the little girl's house the day that her body was found. And he, Sheldon, the next day did an interview saying, well, you know, we can't really blame the caseworkers.
Right.
That doesn't mean that she's not loved.
Right. Right.
Right there, right. What is it, Tanya? Right.
You know, the thing that kills me about
not
this...
Not paying attention for a second.
Right.
The thing that kills me about this is this state is corruption central, right? We've just gone through it over and over and over. Why aren't we more on guard for this stuff? Why can't we catch this stuff sooner?
Well,
and
I think without great journalism and without accidents and happenstance and circumstance, you're not going to find a lot of this, because those that are benefiting from breaking the rules are the ones that make the rules.
Yeah, the Tribune launched this, and another Tribune exclusive, right, too.
Speaking of the fake news, President Donald Trump, who refers to the failing New York Times and the fake news of the New York Times, requested a sit-down interview with the New York Times. And had his request granted yesterday when three New York Times reporters, including the really remarkable Maggie Haberman. I've never met her, never spoken a word to her, but she just kicks butt.
Mm-hmm.
And she and two others, Michael Schmidt, who does a great job as well, sat down with the president last night, who couldn't wait to throw Attorney General Jeff Sessions under the bus. Now, see if you can follow this logic, and we'll take this up politically with Brady and Adelstein later. But he said about Jeff Sessions, if he knew he was going to recuse himself, he never would have hired him as attorney general. Wait, there's more. And Jeff Sessions should have told him that he was going to recuse himself. Okay, Twilight Zone. Here's the problem. He didn't know he was going to recuse himself because none of the things that caused him to recuse himself had happened until he was already attorney general and sat down and was questioned by Al Franken and booted the question.
And isn't Jeff Sessions' job as the top attorney in the land
to
follow
the
Constitution of the United States over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. President, the Attorney General doesn't work for you.
Right.
The Attorney General works for the people of the United States. And by the way, so do you.
And Jeff Sessions, literally, if not the first, one of the first people to publicly show support for Donald
Trump. That's the appalling thing about this. There are unwritten rules of manhood. And if you're going to declare loyalty to be one of your cornerstones, how about returning some of it? He doesn't get elected without Jeff Sessions. He doesn't get elected without CNN's fawning coverage of him in the early days. And what did he do to Sean Spicer? Sean Spicer, who went out and took punches for him for months, day after day after day. All Sean Spicer wanted to do is meet the Pope and they all go to the Vatican. No, he took the Jews. The Jews took a pilgrimage to the Vatican and they left the Catholic guy back at the hotel.
Oh,
it's just unbelievable.
We should name
no loyalty. Zero.
We should name the bus under which everyone seems to be falling under, you know?
The Trump bus.
Yeah.
The Trump mega bus. Everybody get on the
Trump. Trump 2017 right. Just ran over another one. And finally, a little something off topic here for a second, but it's interesting. The city of Milan has banned street food, glass bottles, and selfie sticks because of too much antisocial behavior. So apparently you go out to the Milan, Taste of Milan, and you have yourself a Milan corn dog, a beer, and then you beat someone next to you with a selfie stick. It can't be good.
What are the reviews on the Taste of Milan?
The Yelp reviews are very, very negative.
Are you sure that's Milan, Italy, or Milan, Illinois?
I think it's Milan, Illinois.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's Milan, Illinois. Yeah.
Those selfie sticks can hurt. They'll leave a mark, too, if you pull them out like a...
That's why we took yours, mister.
Ouch.
Back with Nick in a second at 720 WGN. Here's the rain report. Oh, let's do it to your traffic times. Mary.
What to see, what's out at the show, to know the place and when. But there's one guy on GN's Cochrane show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick and
tonight. DiGiulio, he knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Nick DiGiulio joins us now. A proud Walk of Famer. Thinking. And a little later today is the wake for Mike Mathis. I just wondered if you wanted to throw anything in comment-wise that you haven't had a chance to say.
We did a little tribute to Mike on the show, and we talked with Steve and Johnny about it. Here's the thing about Mike. Mike was, I never got to work with him on a regular basis because the hours that he worked, and I was just doing, late nights and weekends at the time. Mike was one of the most selfless people that I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
Always in a great mood. Always. I just remember I was so happy to catch up with him on that Walk of Fame day. Because it's been a really long time. And it was a crazy day. It's one of those days where, you're taking pictures with people and one person is grabbing you to do this and there's TV cameras and all this stuff. And it was really overwhelming. And my parents were there and they were really overwhelmed by it. So it was a crazy day. And I really didn't get a chance to connect with him except during one of the breaks during the ceremony when they went to news and commercials and stuff. Mike was on the other side of the stage and I was in the back row. And he came all the way over to the other side during the break and said, "Hey, man, it's really great to see you." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sorry we haven't had a chance to talk." And the first thing he said was, "You know what, man? How come you're not doing any more theater?" And, this is a guy who came to see one of my shows once. I didn't even know he came. And this is, he comes up, he goes, "Because you're really good at that. I think you should do that again."
How great is that?
And, it was just one of those things where it's like, this is a guy who always asked about you. Who always asked you how you were feeling.
And in a business where people love to be asked about themselves, it wasn't a fake thing. He really cared about you.
Absolutely. He was an incredible guy, and it's just a huge loss. But that was really, and I'm glad I got to at least talk to him and catch up with him about old times at the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, and I will tell you, one of the great joys of working with him day to day was having him look into the monitors and shake his head and then say, "There's something wrong with you."
He always said that.
I remember now.
Yeah.
What? The other thing I want to mention really quickly about Mike was that as just a listener, and I grew up listening to the station that I am unbelievably happy to work for. His evolution as a personality on the station was fantastic to listen to because he started out as Flying Officer Mike Mathis. And then time went by and he became Mikey.
Yeah.
He became the guy on the air that you love. He wasn't just a traffic reporter and he was great at that. He wasn't just an officer and he was great at that. He became this great personality that people got to know over the years that he was on the air. And that evolution was really special to hear. It really was.
Yeah. And Vandeveld and Ann Maxfield and you guys, I feel mostly for you because you guys knew him best. And I know how heartbroken you are over it because, again, he's 67 years old. Come on.
I know, so young.
Just getting started.
I felt like he was sometimes like my dad. Every day he'd come in and he'd say, "Mayor, how's the kids? How's Christopher?
How's Kelsey?
And he just asked me about my kids all the time. And you're right, he was always happy. Sometimes it was to the point of, "Mike, are you ever upset about anything?" You just wanted to say that to him because he was always happy.
Well, he had a pool. Yeah. He had a pool and GM people weren't afraid to use it.
Exactly.
All right, we got to do an express lane here on the movies. Dunkirk, this World War One movie. What are you hearing?
World War Two.
World War II. Sorry.
Yeah, it's Christopher Nolan's new one. Everybody says it's fantastic. It's about a true, battle that took place in Dunkirk, France, where they had to evacuate almost 400,000 soldiers when the Germans attacked. Everybody who's seen it says it's amazing. Christopher Nolan, obviously the director of the Batman movies and Interstellar and Inception. They say, some people are saying this is his best movie, and I'm going to see it. I specifically want to see it in 70mm. It was shot in 70mm in IMAX. The way to see this movie properly is if you can see it in 70mm, do that. If you can see it in IMAX, do that. And I'm seeing it at the Music Box in 70mm tomorrow night.
What is Girls Trip?
Girls Trip is another wacky, hey, let the girls be as raunchy as the guys movie. This is Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, Regina Hall, and Tiffany Haddish. And if you remember us talking about the movie Rough Night a few weeks ago,
it's
essentially that over again.
Okay, Rough Night lasted what, one weekend?
Oh yeah, it was a massive bomb. Yeah. Massive bomb.
And then a movie that we're hearing is unbelievably creative, but I don't know if it's unbelievably good. Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets?
Well, it's directed by Luc Besson, who is one of my least favorite directors of all time. He's directed some horrible movies. He directed The Professional. He directed Fifth Element, some of the worst movies ever made. And this thing is, it reminds me, when I see the trailer, it reminds me of The Fifth Element, which reminds me of vomiting.
So in other words, you're optimistic.
I can't wait. It's 2 hours and 17 minutes long, too.
All right, well, we'll see.
It's longer than the Christopher Nolan World War II movie.
Yeah, and it seems like the war should get more credit.
Absolutely.
Revenge of the Nerds with Curtis Armstrong live. He'll be there with you?
Yeah, Booger, the guy who played Booger in Revenge of the Nerds.
And he'll do the Q&A after?
Q&A, book signing. He'll introduce the movie. Booger will be there live. And
try not to say that word again. Yeah, I know that's his character name, but you've been up all night. We just got up. But Curtis Armstrong, Revenge of the Nerds, when?
It'll be Tuesday, August 8th, and it starts at 8 o'clock. $14 parking and popcorn are included in that. And you get to meet Curtis Armstrong. And in Risky Business, he's the infamous guy who said, hey, every once in a while, you got to say what the blank. And he's also the guy that said, I got a trig midterm tomorrow in the morning, and I'm being chased by Guido the Killer Pimp. This is a legendary character actor, and he'll be there live.
If I had a nickel for every time I said that sentence myself. All right, man, be well. Thank you. And at 6:33, back with the big story in just a moment. Obviously talking about the weather, because that's the big story of the morning on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
And as always, thank you, Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better, for making sure we have the opportunity to get a little extra time here with Dr. Kevin Most. And, Doc, thanks for this. Senator John McCain diagnosed with a very aggressive brain tumor last night. What is he facing here?
Yeah, it is. It's very, very disturbing, to be honest with you. He has a brain tumor, which is called a GBM, a glioblastoma multiforme, and he's got a rough road ahead of him. This is a very aggressive tumor and a very difficult tumor to treat. So probably have surgery first, and then he'll have radiation and chemotherapy, and you just have to kind of keep your fingers crossed and say some prayers for him.
The blood collection, as it's referred, the blood clot that they removed surgically, did they take tissue out to biopsy it as well? Was there something that would have been indicative of a problem there?
Exactly. I'm sure what they saw when they went in was this was just not a typical blood clot, and they probably saw some tissue that looked unusual or did not look like normal tissue, so they took it there at that time. And now all these things that have been happening start to fall in place, and you start to make some sense of it, because with these tumors, people can have some of the initial things are headaches, nausea, but other ones are confusion and speech difficulties, exactly what we saw during the Comey hearings.
Yeah.
Couple that with the blood clot. Why did he get a blood clot? He didn't fall. He didn't have any other issues for it. But these tumors are very vascular, which would allow for bleeding. So you put the two together, and it certainly makes a lot more sense now.
And doctors indicated that this may have formed within a week. Is that sounds crazy fast.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing about these tumors is, one, they grow very quickly, and two, they're very aggressive. And one of the reasons is these come from a cell called an astrocyte, which is a normal brain cancer, a normal brain cell. And so the body doesn't see them as foreign, so it doesn't even start to fight it off. And as a matter of fact, it encourages it by giving it more blood supply. So it has a highly vascular, lots of blood, lots of energy, which allows these cells, which have mutated over a period of time, to now start to duplicate very rapidly.
How common?
Not very, about 15% of all brain tumors. And I had to look that up last night, but we have about 13,000 cases in the United States.
So we've heard that patients who are dealing with this have a life expectancy of about a year and a half, but can live as long as 5 years. And there's cases, about 10% of the cases, even longer than that. We're not talking about the typical 80-year-old here. We're talking about one tough, tough dude who's faced death multiple times and has fought it. But 80 has to come into the equation, right?
It definitely does. As you look at the life expectancy on someone at the time of their diagnosis, the older you are, the shorter it usually is. Again, the body doesn't have a lot of reserves there to fight off a lot of the other things that may end up causing problems. You know, he talk about a tough guy, you know, prisoner of war, everything he's gone through, malignant melanoma 3 times. This is one tough guy. So if anybody's going to fight it hard, it certainly is going to be Senator McCain.
And typical of McCain, as his daughter wrote last night on social media, he was the one trying to keep the family light and calm about all of it and joking around with the staff and stuff. So,
I think one thing people have to understand, he'll have surgery, and then they'll come out with the report of the surgery. And I'm sure he's at Mayo Clinic. They have very talented surgeons. I can tell you we have great neurosurgeons here at Northwestern that'll tell you I can get 99% of that tumor. It's that 1% that we can't see, that we don't know that's there, that then starts to replicate again. And that's why it's a combination of surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, because these tumors are made up. It's why the name is called multiforme, glioblastoma multiforme. There are many different types of cells in this tumor, which makes it difficult to treat, and why we need multiple modalities to treat it.
Doug, when you're talking about the 1%, if they go in, I mean, is there a chance? I'm sure there's always a chance for, either maybe not being able to use motor skills fully like he once did. Is that a risk as well, too?
Absolutely. What they do, and these tumors can form at any, portion of your brain. So what the neurosurgeon does along with the neurologist and the radiation oncologist is they look at where the tumor is and they say, okay, I'm going to start to take off a little bit beyond the edge of the tumor. And then they start to look and say, okay, wait a second. If I go this far, because we know exactly what portion of your brain moves your arm. We know exactly what portion of your brain allows you to speak, allows you to think, allows you to sing, all those things. We know what's going on there. So at this point, they're going to say, okay, where's this tumor? How much of it can we remove safely without affecting his? Interesting that his is in the frontal, at least it appears to be, because that's where that clot was, where not a lot of motor and not a lot of sensory stuff is in the frontal lobe, but more emotional issues. So it'll be interesting to see what they do as far as how aggressive they get with the surgery.
I don't think you want to make McCain angry.
No, exactly.
Got to be careful there. But that's the point of the laser center that you guys have out in the western burbs, right, to target these incredibly tiny areas and do the least damage possible.
That's exactly it. You know, proton therapy, there's a lot of clinical trials going on right now with glioblastomas, just because in the past 25 years, we really haven't done a lot to advance the treatment of it. So now we do start to have new things. We have a new tool actually out here also called the NeuroBlate, which is very cool, where they go in and they burn the tumor. So proton is definitely, I'm sure that he would be at least looked at as a consideration for it. Like you said, it's a lot more accurate radiation versus a generalized radiation that does damage to bigger portions of healthy tumor or of healthy tissue. So I'm sure he's going to get the best minds in neuro-oncology looking at his case and helping him make some decisions.
Thanks for the information, Doc. And obviously, for those delightful and charming hypochondriacs who are listening, it's probably just a headache. But when is it something you should seek medical help over?
Yeah, it's always good. People get headaches all the time, but it's always good to get those headaches checked out. But
especially when it comes to double vision and various other things.
Exactly. This is one that's going to come with more than just that. And like he said, anybody who has a headache and then is confused and can't speak, or we find people off and they'll drive someplace, they'll say, geez, why am I even here? Anything like that will tip us up a little bit higher to say, boy, we need to do some imaging or at least do some further exams.
Dr. Kevin Most, I appreciate it, buddy.
You got it. Take care, you guys.
At Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Pat and Julie Brady helped John McCain's Illinois campaign back in 2008 and spent a lot of time with the senator. I want to talk to Pat about that coming up here in a little bit. First, at 6:50, let's get traffic. Mary, I bet it's getting better out there.
Oh, yeah. Doubt it.
Pat Brady's here, and Eric Adelson will join us next hour. Senator McCain. As a matter of fact, you brought him into the show a couple of times. But you spent quite a bit of time with him back in the 08 campaign. What was your sense when you heard this medical news is worse than we thought it was?
It's devastating. I've known him for a long time. Actually, back to the 2000 campaign, the first time I met him when I was in college at the University of Arizona, so 30-some years ago. But He beat it three times, and if anybody can beat this kind of cancer, it's him.
There's a piece of this which I'd just be curious to get your take on, because it's not a question that, you know, I'm going to be able to ask him specifically, but I think I might know his answer. The Republican Party that he loves is a mess, and he doesn't want to leave this earth with the Republican Party that he's devoted his post-military life to in this shape. Is that any motivation for him to even be stronger?
Yeah, but I think if you look at his life and what he's been through, he's highly motivated to live anyway. If you saw what he did, if you've read any of the books about his POW experience, he was basically almost dead and was offered early release by the Vietnamese.
Cause if he rolled over.
If he rolled over. Well, the thing is, it was a propaganda thing for the North Vietnamese, because his grandfather was an admiral and his dad was an admiral.
Right.
And honoring the code, which says the first people in or the first people out, he said no. And he survived. And if you read any of the books about him, he was tortured, hung up by his arms backwards, beaten every morning.
Bolted to a floor.
He can't lift his arms because from the plane crash, when he actually crashed and fell into the lake, they took the butt end of a gun and pulverized his shoulders.
Right.
So a guy like him, I think, has a strong will to live. And I remember 15 years ago or 17 years ago when he had it, the melanoma, everyone said he was going to die, and he didn't.
Right.
This doesn't sound great, but there's one guy that can beat it. It'd be him.
He is in the Arizona area still. He hasn't come back to D.C., do we know?
I think he said there's a Mayo Clinic right there. I think Orion actually.
Orion actually has gone there, yeah, with regularity. So what happens, listen, this is not about politics, but it's a question that needs to be asked. What happens to his vote in the Senate from the time being? Can he be active in the Senate from his home in Arizona?
As active as he can be, but I think you got to be there to vote. Okay. So that's my understanding. You have to be physically present to vote. So this is going to have an impact on what they're trying to get done, although it seems like it all fell apart last night anyway. But yeah, plus he is one of the most respected people in the Senate. Some people don't necessarily like everything he stands for or has done, but he is a guy that people listen to and look to for leadership. And I think that hurts too, particularly if you read what he's done in the last 6 months since Trump's been president. He's been traveling all over the world.
Right.
Telling world leaders, stay with us. This is just a little bump.
Literally, that's exactly what the trips are. He follows Air Force One. He lands and he goes, I know what he said. Hang in there. It's still the United States of America. We're going to be fine.
And he's one of the most respected leaders in the world. And he's one of the most respected leaders in the United States, if you see any of the polling. So it's a big loss for the Republicans. And if you read, remember any of the books that came out after the 2008 campaign, Game Change, and all the things that went on there, where the Sarah Palin wing of the party took over some things, and he said we need to get back to what we're all about. And remember, he got elected in 1986 to replace Barry Goldwater, basically the founder of the conservative movement.
Right.
And he has traditionally been a very fiscally conservative guy and a national security hawk, and has stayed true to that. I think that's where he'd like to get the party back to.
He always liked your wife better than you, right?
He likes pretty blondes. I used to joke. It's two things. I used to joke with Julie when she first met him, when we started working on the campaign with State Representative Durkin, who was the campaign chairman. And I go, we're going to get a picture with McCain and watch him push me out of the picture and push you in.
Which is exactly
what happened. But right.
Doesn't make him a bad guy.
Not at all. He could not have been nicer. And sadly, Julie passed away 3 years ago of cancer. And the third phone call I got was from Senator McCain.
Yeah, he's a special guy.
I've been watching him since I was a freshman in college, and he's truly a remarkable figure, a national hero.
If you're so inclined, we certainly hope you'll keep him in your prayers. Back after this on 720 WG. Yeah, hey. When you reach out for the star, the dream will take you very far. 7:11 in the morning on the Steve Cochran Show. If you look outside the window, it looks like about 8:30 at night. Right?
Looks like the scene from Ghostbusters.
Former Republican Senator for the state of Illinois, Kirk Dillard, is here. Also ran a neck-and-neck race for governor. And the recount probably would have put him in the governor's chair. And one of those times and moments of change history. Former chairman of the DuPage County Republican Party and a member of the American Legislative Exchange Council. Serves as an Illinois state leader and selected as the RTA's new chairperson. There's some RTA news, Senator. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good to see you again.
It's great to be here, as always.
Thanks to be hearing here. By the way, the hair is fake because it does, you know, in this humidity, it still looks good.
Thank you. It's just lots of gel.
Ah, it's product.
In the dark, when I put it on.
Pat Brady and Eric Adelson are here as well, so gentlemen, jump in as well because Mr. Diller can speak with great knowledge about local politics here. But before we get to that, what is the news you want to make on the RTA today?
Well, I want to remind people, and you know, I'm sympathetic to schools, obviously, and the budget travails that you all have had plenty to report on. Mm-hmm. But in addition to an operating budget, which the state, for better or for worse, has, we have a need for infrastructure or a capital budget. It's a second kind of budget. It's roads, it's bridges, it's infrastructure. As it rains, it's sewers.
Sure.
Not glitzy stuff, but I chair the Regional Transportation Authority, and we have massive needs for monies. And very importantly, President Trump has said he wants $1 trillion, that's with a T, infrastructure package in Washington. And if that gets teed up and the Congress and the president pass it, we have to have matching funds, or Indiana and Michigan. And I was recently on a panel in Washington with my counterpart from Phoenix, who said, we'll take Illinois' monies in a heartbeat if you don't have the matching monies to match the federal cash that's out there.
So the federal government says, here's a dollar, you got to have a dollar for their dollar.
Right. And under President Trump, I think he's even probably going to demand even a greater local share. He wants to do a lot of public-private partnerships. We have those in the metropolitan Chicago area. But I think local dollars become even more important in a Trump administration. We have not had an infrastructure or capital budget in Illinois in 8 years. And that one wasn't even fully implemented or funded. And, you know, for the CTA, Metra, and PACE have almost $20 billion of projects that are backlogged on the infrastructure side that we have to take care of just to keep service at its normal level.
Yeah, not some fancy bells and whistles, just to keep the city and the state moving.
Correct. And one of the things we've done well, and the mayor got in trouble because he wrote a letter to the New York newspapers last week, but we have not focused on much expansion like a lot of other cities. We just try to maintain what we have, and got a lot of great stuff going on, Red Line, CTA.
Based on what you saw in the budget,
we need an infrastructure or capital budget in Springfield as well. Not as if they don't have enough to do already.
Frankly, they haven't done it very well. So based on what we saw with the budget, in quotes, is any of that money there now?
Well, in the budget that passed, the operating budget, there's something new that hurt us. And I saw Metra's in the Daily Herald today talking about it. The state, for the first time, you know, it kind of galls me, but the state is now taking or charging us 2% to collect the regional sales tax money that goes to fund the RTA. I mean, that's a cut of, you know, some $25 million, and the state now charges us to collect dollars that actually support the system.
So Metra ticket prices have to go up to cover that number?
I don't know. It's up to Metra to make
that
decision.
What do you think? I mean, what's your educated guess on that?
You know, when you're making budget cuts, obviously you're going to have to get it someplace. And
right.
You either have older equipment, and we have very old equipment. A third of our equipment is beyond, quote, its useful life, and we band-aid it together.
by the way, that's comforting.
But
yeah.
That's
comforting. Yeah. Isn't it to know that we can't buy the new equipment and
paramount.
The trains and buses are beyond their useful life?
But, you know, one of the things when we have this older equipment, Steve, is it costs us more money to make. It's like an old car.
Right. There's only so much duct tape.
To fix it. And sometimes it's better to buy newer equipment
that's,
or cheaper.
That's my question, too. The red line, the 95th Street stop is beautiful. I know the brown line, there's been a lot of reconstruction on the existing stations as well. Is that going to continue? Because I know a lot of those projects are still greenlit but haven't begun
yet. Yeah, the 95th Street Station, which is really our busiest station.
Yeah.
Everything kind of converges
great.
There. It looks phenomenal. There was a great story about even artwork. There's an African-American artist that's doing the artwork down there. And the mayor, to his credit, has really led an effort to rebuild the CTA in using innovative methods and in really tough economic times. So, you know, things are going well. And I want to point out to the listeners, Steve and Andrea, that we have the lowest operating cost per mile of any mass transit system of our size in America. And we also, in studies over the last few years, have the fewest mechanical breakdowns per mile even with
but
Chicago's
that can't last.
Tough
that can't last forever because, as you said, you're gluing it together.
And the older the equipment gets, the harder it is.
So what
to
do we need to do?
That excellent. Got to pass a state capital bill. We got to match a federal infrastructure bill.
Where is it as a level of priority in Springfield?
You know, it's obviously
education
behind,
is first.
As it should be. It's behind schools, and now that they have an operating budget, the governor yesterday was out in Oak Brook and spoke to construction industry folks and said, "Look, I want a capital bill." This is Governor Rauner speaking. So I was very happy to hear.
Have you talked to him privately about it?
I saw him during the spring session.
But he should want to meet with you about this.
And his staff understand it, and I listened to the governor's remarks yesterday. He gets it. And I'll tell you, Steve, we're downtown. 70% of the people that work in the financial area or district in South Loop, they take mass transit to work. It is the economic driver. There's a lot of bad stuff in Illinois.
It has to work.
One of the good things.
It has to work.
Pat, you know the district's working well.
Pat, you know the governor's people. Are they going to get this done?
Yeah, as Senator Dillard said, he spoke to it the other day and said this should be a priority. But unfortunately, rightfully, we have education funding to take care of first.
You know, and Steve, one of the things I would say.
Why can't you do both? Honestly. This is the great
you should
political
be able to walk
stall.
And chew gum at the same
That's
time.
That's exactly right. This is the great political stall where people go, we can only do this. And then if this goes well, we can do that. Not if you need both.
You know, for years, I'm a former legislator and I worked for two governors. We always had an infrastructure budget that went along simultaneously with our operating budget. And it's funny.
Be a no-brainer.
I always say if these poor legislators are making difficult votes, give them an infrastructure bill where they can go back and say, hey, I got a new bridge, or we're going to improve these roads and show improvements. That's the spoonful of sugar that makes the tougher medicine go down. But our infrastructure's crumbling. If Chicago's going to be the transportation hub of the Midwest or America, we got to take care of it.
It would behoove us to get a state and a federal infrastructure bill in place. And if either happens, fingers crossed, how soon could that money start flowing in for track repair?
Next Tuesday.
Line? Yeah, well, it would start
Wouldn't
to flow
in
the fall.
In the fall. And,
is that fast? Well, that's fast.
That is good. Yeah.
And in political terms, that's the express lane.
It is the express lane. But we need both a federal. But I just want to remind people we need an infrastructure bill, as the governor did yesterday out in Oak Brook, to go along with the operating budget, for better or for worse. My former colleagues band-aided together in Springfield a couple weeks ago.
Hey, Eric's afraid to ask, but can we take one of those locomotives out for a spin?
Hey, absolutely. although I will tell you,
it's the weirdest thing. I've never seen Kirk Dillard with a bigger key ring. He carries it around on his belt. He's got all the train keys.
I like when you guys roll out, you know, either the Cubs train or the Pride train or the vintage colors. Is there any sort of profit on that, or is that just,
you know, about 1% of our budget is from advertising. We'd love to have more. Yeah. I love to see trains that are skinned, as they're called. They're beautiful. We don't have graffiti problems like New York. The mayor didn't put that in his letter to New York, but you know, our trains are generally clean. They're much cleaner than when I went to DePaul and rode the system every day. And you know, things are going well, but I just want to let people know realistically, we got to take care of the system so that it can take care of our economy. And one of the things we do in Chicago that other cities don't do, I always tell downstate legislators, you know, our yellow school bus system is the CTA. That's how people get, I tell the speaker all the time, that's how people get to St. Ignatius High
Wait
School.
Wait a second, the speaker?
It's how they get to the Chicago public schools.
Are you speaking of Speaker Madigan?
Yeah. He went to St. Ignatius. And,
hold on a second. I didn't even know he actually existed. I thought it was one of those Lord of the Rings things where it was just one of these eerie, evil guys out there.
Like Oz.
It's the weirdest thing, Kirk. He won't call us. I don't know what it is.
We have Brady or Adelstein work on it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that'll happen. They don't even claim they know me. It's 7:21, traffic first, and then more coming up with Eric Edelstein, Pat Brady, and Senator Kirk Dillard. And we got a little gubernatorial election right around the corner as well. Don't worry about this. In this Trump New York Times interview? Oh, is Jeff Garland would say, our old friend Jeff Garland? That's a big bowl of crazy. We'll get to that coming up, too. RTA, Big Kahuna, Kirk Dillard on Twitter, at K Dillard, K-D-I-L-L-A-R-D, RTA on Twitter. And just Google him up on social media as well. And don't forget the website, rtachicago.org. Before we get off this and get into state politics for just a second, you want to make a point, which I think is an important one. We're talking about the need here, but it's not like it's not safe to travel the RTA, the entire regional system.
Correct. Our number one priority, Steve, is always safety. My point is the older equipment is more expensive to maintain, but right. safety is absolutely our number one priority above everything else.
And the partnership, too, that you guys have with Chicago Police, we notice a lot of police officers now on the CTA, especially in the morning hours as well. I mean, that's part of the partnership as well?
It is. And, we work very closely with the Chicago Police Department. And, we have numerous surveillance cameras, more and more. And the system, in a metropolitan area with more than 2 million riders every day is as safe as we can possibly make it.
You going to run for office again?
No.
Never.
I'm happy with my kids. It's an honor to run the CTA. It makes me feel like I'm at least doing something useful for a city and a region that I love. And I'm done, and I just want to play golf with you, Steve.
Anytime. What's wrong with Springfield? And by the way, it's never been more wrong.
You know, one of the things is everybody needs to get along.
Let's go with the basic premise that ain't happening. Now what?
Well, they have to step up and cooperate. I mean, I said we need an infrastructure bill. That's a good place to start. Democrats and Republicans both want an infrastructure bill. I would submit that if President Trump started with infrastructure, he'd already have a major victory.
Yeah, major.
And
would
have
major
been a tone
mistake.
Setter. So right. I'm sitting here as the chairman of the Regional Transportation Authority. Infrastructure is a good way to get Republicans and Democrats, downstaters and metropolitan Chicago talking. Infrastructure's the one thing that both political parties generally agree upon.
Do you think it's personal between the speaker and the governor?
Probably.
And because of that, what is the hope of getting something done?
Both men just need to realize you have school children that need to be taken care of. You've got an economy that needs to go, and they need to sit down probably more often than they do. And I know it's got to be painful to both of them. I worked for two governors, and there were many times we probably didn't want to, in our administrations, schlep up to see the speaker or whomever. But you got to do it, and you invite them to lunch. Or you have breakfast together and you just have to do it. That's just the way it is.
You were there for a long time. It's my opinion in the 20-plus years that I've been doing this in Chicago that the speaker has gotten less willing to work for the state of Illinois and more willing to guard his own power. Am I off base?
I don't know. I don't know what his motivations are. I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I know the speaker
yes,
tries
it's
to
funny. I don't.
Protect
I'm way more judgmental than you are.
You're even more cynical than I am.
It's not cynical. It really isn't. You know what it is? It's aggravation. It's aggravation for the people of Illinois. It's aggravation for me. It's aggravation for every taxpayer in Illinois. I don't see anything that the speaker is doing that leads to solutions.
You know, Steve, my blood boils every day. And, I always have to temper it because I've got 2 million people that ride a regional transit system every day. And the RTA is both not only politically balanced, but it's geographically balanced. These guys need to get it done on behalf of not only school children, but the more than 2 million people that ride public transportation every day. And, it's funny, if this is just Metra. If we didn't have Metra, we would need 37 more lanes of highway on the Kennedy and Edens. We move massive amounts of people and students. We're a primary way that senior citizens and people with disabilities get to their doctor's appointments or go wherever they go. We just need to step it up and start cooperating.
Open-ended offer, if any state politician, leadership or otherwise, wants to use the RTA as a bargaining chip, please feel free to let me know their name.
Me too.
I'd be happy to make sure the public knows exactly who's trying to blackmail us out of a new bridge. Pat or Eric, either one of you, last word?
Nope.
All right, we've covered it, in other words?
Yeah, okay.
All right, well done.
Did a fine job, Senator, Chairman.
Thank you all. Stay dry.
What's the rest of your day?
The rest of my day is I go back to the RTA office, have some meetings with staff. I have lunch with a couple of people, and, you just trudge along.
And the Ventra app is working out?
The Ventra app works phenomenally well. So anybody can go on and purchase their tickets, and it's a great system. I'm glad to say we're into the 21st century as well as we can. We've won awards for our Ventra system, and it's finally in place, and it's working very well. And you know, I think we are we have the American Public Transportation Association having its annual meeting or some of its meeting here this weekend and next week, and our system is one to be proud of. But again, you got to maintain what our grandparents and parents
and you gotta invest.
Set up for
you gotta
us.
Invest. You got to invest in the new stuff when you need it. So, by the way, that sounds like a fun bunch, the transportation guys coming in this weekend.
I love it. It's exhilarating. Everybody should have their own transportation system. I will say this. Andrea's here. I get up every morning, and the first thing I want to hear is that all mass transit
all
is running on time.
Are
running
time.
Right. No delays at O'Hare. Yeah. Well, maybe not
alarm,
today.
When an alarm goes off early in the morning, right. Even before you get on, Steve, right. I'm listening to
WCR. Pat and Eric and I would like to take reports. One of the trains out, but Kirk says
exactly,
we can't do it.
Yeah.
Senator, nice to see you.
Great to see you.
All
thanks,
the best.
Steve. Always a pleasure.
Back with the big story next on 720 WGN. And don't forget, it's rtachicago.org.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Sessions gets the job. Right after he gets the job, he recuses himself.
Was that a mistake?
Well, Sessions should have never recused himself. And if he was going to recuse himself, he should have told me before he took the job, and I would have picked somebody else.
Mm-hmm. He gave you no heads up at all. Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So Jeff Sessions, which frankly, I think is very unfair to the president. Mm-hmm. How do you take a job and then recuse yourself? It's extremely unfair. And that's a mild word to the president.
Sounds like Mr. Peabody needs a Wayback Machine. Listen, again, you can be the most ardent Trump supporter, and you cannot make sense of that timeline. Jeff Sessions could not recuse himself for something he didn't know he hadn't done yet. That's what he's talking about. The interviews and the conversations that took place prior to the appointment and the Senate approval of Sessions for Attorney General, how could he know he would say something to an Al Franken question that hadn't happened yet that would lead to his recusal? There's no planet where that makes sense.
You don't understand, Steve.
No, you know what? I don't.
You don't understand. This president knows the future and the past in ways you can't.
Apparently, he's got some sort of abilities that I haven't recognized yet. That from a New York Times interview yesterday. And I say this again, and we should get Maggie Haberman on if she's willing to give us some time. How good is Maggie Haberman?
She's the best.
She's unbelievable.
Absolutely the best.
She's about 5 feet tall, and she is the most frightening person to walk into her room since Mike Wallace in the 70s.
But if you follow her Twitter feed, you can't have a job because you'll spend all day reading her stuff she puts
tremendous,
out.
Tremendous journalist. Pat Brady's here as well. That's the voice of Eric Edelstein. And Pat, you read this New York Times interview.
I did.
There's so much in here to give me a headache and cause me to have equilibrium problems. I don't even know where to start.
I guess maybe go back to the question, why do the interview if you don't have a message to get out and it's just a bunch of babbling nonsense? I mean, the whole reason to do a New York Times interview is because you have a message you want to get out. Show some discipline. We want to talk about health care, and this is why. Not the president's being is now a victim.
Well, not only that, but the whole the White House was telling everyone, okay, we're moving past Russia, we're moving past healthcare, we're going to reset the table. And the guy, every time they do that, the guy brings Russia back up. So, you know, he protests too much on this Russia thing, which I think we keep saying on this show. But it just makes you wonder. He can't make it go away. He can't let it go.
And how do you declare the failing New York Times, the fake news New York Times, and then, by all accounts, request this interview?
He has this weird pathology with the New York Times from his years in New York, where he was the outsider, not taken seriously, Mr. Tabloid, who wanted the ultimate respect of the institutional New York. And so he's got this love-hate thing, where while he rips on the New York Times, he craves their validation. craves it.
But if I say Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein are losers and Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein are frauds, I'm probably not going to have you on the show.
No, but if you're in fourth grade, you're really saying we're cute and you want to date us. And that's the difference. It's sort of like saying, I really hate that boy by the little girl, when what she's really saying is I want to date him. And so what Trump is saying is I really want to date the New York Times, but I'm too immature and too much of a child to actually say that, so I'm going to insult them instead.
That's a great analogy.
It's just stunningly stupid.
To be my locker partner.
Right.
Remember that? You know, Flynn, Comey, Spicer to an extent, and now Sessions. It seems as though even if someone declares their loyalty to the... I mean, Jeff Sessions was one of the first people to outwardly support
Don't
President
forget
Trump.
Spicy. Well, Spicy,
yeah,
Spicerman.
Extent, absolutely. And they're all being just tossed under that bus.
Well, here's the question. The Attorney General serves at the leisure of the president, the pleasure of the president, or whatever verb you want to use. Can he continue in his job? I mean, I know he can legally, but in a sense, the president's saying, I made a mistake in appointing you. I disagree with your fundamental decision that you made. How do you continue in that job?
Well, the other thing before you answer, Pat, is, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, but Rod Rosenstein, who follows Sessions, if Trump were able to remove Sessions and force him to resign, Rod Rosenstein steps up. That's the last thing Trump wants.
And that's why we got what special or independent counsel, whatever you want to call it, Robert Mueller. That's because of what they did to him, setting him up with that memo.
Right, but for that reason, I agree with Eric. If I'm Jeff Sessions and I have any shred of dignity left, I say I'm done today.
Well, last time I checked, the Attorney General is supposed to represent the people of the United States, and their loyalty is not to the Commander-in-Chief, it's to the people. So hopefully keep doing what you're doing. I didn't think Jeff Sessions was necessarily a great pick, but I think since he's been Attorney General, he's actually done a pretty good job.
But it's fundamentally unfair to the president. Pat,
oh my God,
it's so unfair to the president.
I have no response. I don't get it.
You can't. Not only can you not make it up, you can't make sense of it. I don't know, even in the twisted view of the world that he has, how any of that makes sense between his ears.
Well, he's got a 36% approval rating going right now, so it's not going well. And again, to blow the opportunity for this interview and go back to stuff he didn't want to talk about or supposedly didn't want to talk about, it didn't make any sense.
Well, then he attacked the city of Baltimore in the interview as well, Steve, which I'm not here to defend Baltimore, but
I lived there for a couple of years. It's a nice city.
It's a nice city. Crabs are great. Camden Yards is cool. The Wire is one of the great shows of all time. But right. Ron Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, is from Baltimore, and he said, how could the guy possibly be...
I have the quote right here.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. The former federal prosecutor from Baltimore is Rod Rosenstein, he was the acting attorney general, and he's Sessions' second. When Sessions recused himself, the president said he was irritated to learn where his deputy was from. Here's the quote. The president of the United States said the following. There are very few Republicans in Baltimore, if any.
But they have a Republican governor.
Oh, my God.
The Republican governor, it's a major American city. Of course there's Republicans in Baltimore.
How about Google Baltimore city politics?
If any.
if right? any. You can't make it up.
Okay, I got to do it. I got to do it because I'm a Republican, but I got to defend him on one thing that I've seen that I don't like with the picks that Mueller's making. Some of these people have given contributions to Democrats, and I'm not saying that's per se.
They've also given contributions to Republicans, two of the people.
Well, but some of those, and I remember back in the day when I was interviewing here, actually in the Northern District, and I was told that any political affiliation, it pretty much is disqualifying. In these spots, you need to not have tipped your hand on what your politics are, and I think that is a legitimate criticism.
I don't disagree with your premise, but here's the thing. Why is the rest of the world trying to be decent and do the right thing while the president of the United States, who's supposed to be leading us, continues to do the wrong thing and doesn't play by any of the same rules? He can have conflicts of interest. He can go back on anything he said 10 minutes ago. Why does the rest of the world get questioned on everything and he doesn't?
Listen, I work with what I got. And that's
Wow.
Appreciate your candor.
Yeah. How many times did you read through it to get to that one?
I did. I read it three times. There's one thing I can pull out of here that
it kind of choked in his neck and his throat when he tried to do it.
One of the more entertaining things is seeing Democrat Edelstein and Republican Brady each week is to see the little twitch they get when they say something. They go, I got to say it. I just have to say it.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I regret that the effort to repeal and immediately replace the failures of Obamacare will not be successful.
Let Obamacare fail. It'll be a lot easier.
The Democrats have not been interested in working on this. They want to double down on a failed system that is in the middle of a collapse.
They're obstructionists.
They have no ideas. They have no thought process.
I imagine many Democrats were celebrating last night. I hope they consider what they are celebrating.
We're not going to own it. I'm not going to own it. I can tell you the Republicans are not going to own it.
Inaction is not an option. Congress needs to do their job now.
Let's be clear on something. Donald Trump would not be the first politician to walk into a room, turn behind him and say, how do I feel about this? But he changed his opinion four times on what to do about health care in about 48 hours. Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein are here. Eric, where do you work, by the way?
I work at AL Media. And who knew healthcare was going to be that complicated?
It's complicated, Eric. I've told you again and again. Pat, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies.
This is 15 to 20% of the American economy. It's a big damn deal. I never thought I would find anyone at the head of the Senate more repugnant than Harry Reid, but McConnell's getting close. And McConnell's movements on all of this have been ridiculous as well. Pat, you said that this thing blew up last night even further. Where's it go from here?
I'm not sure, but it's dead for today. And I think Eric said it months ago, the party that grabs this first owns it, and they lose on it. Probably politically the best thing that could happen for Republicans is this thing die right now, and hopefully the base doesn't abandon you for making the promise you're going to repeal and replace, because kind of like when they passed Obamacare 7-8 years ago, it passed and the Democrats are happy, but they got killed on it.
Right.
But is everybody in agreement that repealing now and replacing later would just be catastrophic? I mean, for everybody, doctors, premiums, us.
It can't happen.
It would be a disaster. It would be a disaster, right, on so many levels, in terms of people's health care, in terms of state budgets, in terms of the quality of care, right, in terms of the way insurance coverages work. You can't do it. You're
sure.
Basically just, that would be a disaster.
Here's the problem, though. This is the thing. When you create an entitlement, and a lot of people like me are opposed to new entitlements, it's almost impossible to take them away. People
right.
have this. And but I what the one issue, though, people are talking the 20 or 25 million, whatever. Some people choose not to have health care insurance. And that's what this is. This is a health care insurance issue, not a health care issue. It's health care insurance. And so some of those numbers they throw around aren't exactly accurate. But right now it's a big mess.
If you peel this back, and I believe that we may be headed in this direction. If you peel this back to pre-2010 and you fix Medicare and Medicaid and you take care of the poor who were uninsured, and you de-incentivize folks to go to an emergency room, that's the ultimate fix. And then you don't have to charge 18 to 35-year-olds for insurance they don't want in a system that can only survive if you do.
Right. The truth is, the reason it's so difficult politically and so complicated and so hard to follow is exactly what you said, Steve, is many Western countries, you know, have gone to a more broad base, whether you want to call it single payer or... expanded Medicaid and Medicare, but just make it available to everybody. If people want supplemental insurance, they can get supplemental insurance. And don't take anything away from people who have something right now, but say we're going to make it available for others.
Yeah,
now, that's an expensive proposition, but how much we spend in this country on health care and the quality of care that we get is really out of proportion.
And I'm not here to defend or to slam insurance companies, but if you run an insurance company and you have obligations to not only the people that work for you, but to your shareholders as well, and you've been taking it on the chin for the last few years because of Obamacare, the minute you see an opening to make up for some of those losses, you're going to take it.
I'm not sure if all of them have taken it on the chin. I think some of these companies did pretty well.
I think a few have, but I think a few Obamacare have also taken big losses.
Here's my back to my very basic premise. When the government gets involved in the business of picking winners and losers, it gets way too complicated and never works out. The more you have government involved in anything, the less efficient, not the less well it runs. And that's
I don't know, Pat. It seems like it's running really well right now.
I understand that point of view. The only thing I would say is that Medicare and Social Security have done more to lift seniors out of poverty and create a baseline level of income than any government programs maybe in the history of the world. And so no question, there's flaws. Government can't solve every problem. But there are moments when you do need government to step in, and I think those are two examples, and I think healthcare is another.
Yeah, it comes down to the same thing everybody has to face, including those of you stuck in traffic this morning. Be better at your job. Going today, be better than you were yesterday. Everybody in government, be better at your job. You know, if you approach it from a standpoint of selfish and what's in it for me first, of course the system's going to break down.
Well, the whole thing to me, kind of like why the tuitions at major universities are going up 20% a year. Why did my premiums just go up 25% last year when this was all supposed to drive the costs down? I mean, the problem is not the quality of care, it's the costs. And the costs are disproportionate to any other indicators.
It's outrageous.
It's totally outrageous. So somebody's either making a lot of money, we're getting ripped off, or there's fraud or what. But there, a lot of people like me that are paying private health insurance, why my rates keep going up? And that was supposed to have been solved by all this.
Before we run out of time, the governor's race on a day-to-day basis starts to pick up a little more speed. Eric Edelstein, you are supporting Christopher Kennedy. Anything new in the campaign?
Well, a week ago, we took a poll because we'd seen J.B. Pritzker spend $10 million, and we kind of wanted to see where the race was. And remarkably,
it's money he could have spent on toilets, by the way.
$10 million. We are close to the election. We're 8 months from the primary now. So at this rate, he'll spend $60 or $70 million. But Kennedy still led, which is a function, I think, of the name and sort of him being tough on these issues and talking about running as an outsider. But this is a tough race. You got a lot of money being spent. Kennedy, I think, still remains the front runner, but Pritzker looks like he's unwilling to let up and is willing to buy this election if it's available to him. I think primary voters, though, are more sophisticated than that, and that's why I think you see these polls continue to show Kennedy in front.
And on the Republican side, Governor Rauner made a lot of staff changes and had some staff changes made for him when people left. Any reason for the public to be concerned?
No. I mean, the governor keeps his own counsel, I think, on a lot of these issues. I don't think he's changed anything in the direction he wants to take the state. He still wants his reform agenda implemented, and I think he just wanted different people implemented. And they're all people who have been around a long time, are very well versed in public policy, and I think we'll do a good job for him.
Any concern about it going farther to the right or more conservative, because that's never really seemed to be his move?
No, and it doesn't really typically work in a state like Illinois, which is more blue than it is red. But the reality is we need to make sure that voters know there's a difference between how Republicans would govern versus how Democrats would govern. So maybe that's a reason he did this. But it's going to be, I think, interesting. Back to the Democrat race just for a second, the number one negative or the highest negative on JB was his old toilet property tax scam.
Yeah, do you know anything about that?
Yeah.
You helped that story, Pat. You were good at that.
Would 6 in 10 think that's a concern?
Well, yeah. It's one of those issues that it's so visual to people and it so outrages them that somebody's one of the wealthiest people in the country would try to game the system
for $250,000
to make $250,000. Yeah, it really upsets people.
Not even just about the wealth, but you think about it. You brought this up, Pat. At a time when schools may not be funded, you got a guy running TV commercials about his primary care is little kids who wouldn't be able to go to school because he wanted to save $250,000. It could be used for the schools if it wasn't paid for him in a property tax rebate by ripping toilets out of his Gold Coast condo. I don't think those things add up.
No, even worse than that, somebody else paid that $250.
Right.
It came out of some other person, not billionaire's pocket. That $250 was paid. It just wasn't paid by him.
Right. When the county assessor goes before the county board the same 2 weeks later saying, okay, yeah, it's disproportionate. Those paying higher taxes are getting better assessments as opposed to those
in
the lower.
The trib was all over it. And actually, even the day before yesterday, the Barrios got hit on it again. So it's a big issue.
Yeah. Good to see both of you. Welcome back. You in town for a while now or two? It remains to be seen.
I'm in town till 3 o'clock when I go to D.C.
All right. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad we got you.
Eric, Steve's Eric. We'll see.
Yeah, glad we got you on the way to the airport.
Yeah, I know.
Steve's very concerned that you want to break up. No, that you want to break up.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. Yeah, I actually started.
Probably, does Eric still like me?
I would rather be here on Thursday mornings than anywhere I am when I'm not here.
Well, the thing is, I did call again on the street. He specializes in show counseling, but he's got Eric and Kathy meetings all day long.
Eric and Eric.
It's 8:03. We're late. Back with the news next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, man. Pickle put Sammy Vatanen in right down to the ice on his back with a massive hit. Pickle looking for two for his money. He got it. A thunderous body check in the near corner on Vatanen. Oh, and then Pickle steps into Bufflin from behind and knocks him down, and Bufflin takes exception to it. Sharp over the wild line left wing to Pickle, coming by Moose and shoots and scores! Brian Pickle!
Pickle to Shaw left corner to Keith to the line. Rundblad tees it up. Fire save. Main rebound score! Brian Pickle!
Brian and Amanda in studio in just a second. Well, that's fun hearing that, isn't it?
Yeah. Remember, Brian and I shot a video, I don't know, 5 years ago, longer than that?
Mm-hmm.
I made the mistake of saying, all right, check me hard into the wall. The bruises just went away. But he looks great. We'll talk to Brian in just a second. I wanted to say a quick hi here to another special guest in studio. Fine Chicago public school teacher, is that right?
Yep.
Where do you teach?
McAuliffe Elementary.
What grade level?
Eighth grade science.
Eighth grade?
Yeah.
Aren't the kids evil in eighth grade?
They're sweet.
They're so sweet. They're sweet. They're they cooperative.
They don't talk back at all. No, ever.
So what type of science is that you teach?
Physical science.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Is that like earth science, as we called it back in the day?
More chemistry.
Okay.
A lot of the periodic table, elements.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Fun stuff like that.
Yeah, and how long have you been a teacher?
Actually, this is my 20th year in Chicago Public Schools.
God bless
you. I used to work in Little Village at a school called Finkel Academy for 18 years, and I just switched over to a school in Hermosa.
Whoa. Hold on a second. 20 years
yes.
plus 18 years?
I started in 1996, 97 school year.
No. Wait. 20 years plus 18? How long have you been a teacher?
No, 20 years. No, this is 18 20. in Hermosa.
Okay, all right. For a second there, I thought you were my age.
No.
Okay, all right. You look fabulous either way. How's
Thank
that?
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. And you're a guest producer. Where did this come from?
I went to a fundraiser and thought this would be such a fun experience. I bought a day as the producer of the WGN Steve Cochran Show.
Pretty exciting stuff.
For Lane Tech High School fundraiser.
Well, that's nice.
Yep. My
thank
older
you for
son
that.
Goes to Lane Tech.
Thank you for that. And thank you for the work you're doing in school.
Thank you.
All right. And we'll get a full assessment of how good a producer you are shortly from Sandberg.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Are you as frightened of her as we are?
Pardon me?
Are you as afraid of her as we are?
No, not
oh, you're
at
not?
All. Actually, she seems really fun and nice.
They just met.
Just met. That's exactly right. 818, before we get to traffic, let me say hi to Brian and Amanda Bickle, who are here. Nice to see you guys. And Bix, you look great.
Thanks, you too.
Lean into that microphone for me.
Yeah.
And Amanda, you always look fabulous.
Oh, thanks. You're so sweet.
But I want to make sure that everybody knows how good you look. How do you feel?
I feel good. Slowing the body down. Not going through the paces of being a hockey player has definitely, helped my symptoms, but enjoying the time with the family. It's good.
And the little ones are how old now?
Three and one. Turning three and one just turned
how about
one.
That? When was the last time you slept?
Oh, they're like, amazing sleepers.
Yeah. Oh, they are?
They got my sleeping really jeans. Lucky. I can fall asleep here if you want.
Oh, what a nice thing to say.
Sorry.
Listen, you don't need to hear this from me, but I think it's important to say it. Dave, you and I talked about this. Andrea talked about this. Mm-hmm. The way you guys have handled all of this as a family after that left turn, from the announcement to going to Carolina to coming back to the NHL awards, really amazing. You got to be proud of yourselves.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's something that we drive to doing. Obviously, it was a low part in my career and my life, and me and my Amanda, we wanted to turn into a positive and inspire a lot of people, and I think we've done that so far, and we're going to be moving forward.
You thought it was just pit bulls. No, it's pit bulls and MS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're lucky. It just kind of, worked right into our foundation. We found out shortly after he was diagnosed that a lot of people with MS use service dogs because a lot of people have problems with stability or even their sight or even emotional support. And it just kind of fit right in.
So plenty busy. You going to have time to fish?
Yeah, hopefully I got some time to fish.
Oh, boy.
I've been talking to Amanda all the time that
poor
I need
thing.
To get
it's
out.
Okay.
Yeah. But, Amanda liked me until I brought that up.
Yeah, seriously.
We'll come back right after traffic, talk more with you guys in just a second. And then John McDonough's going to be on talking about convention this weekend here in a couple minutes, too. Brian and Amanda Bickle are here. They just referenced the MS Service Dog program, which is launching now. You know, when life throws you a curve, do something positive with it. And that's what you guys have done. So how's this going to work, Amanda?
Yeah, I mean, so basically, a lot of people that have MS, need service dogs.
Sure.
We looked into it, and a lot of service dogs can cost upwards of $20,000. I don't know about you guys, but like most people cannot afford that for a dog. I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we decided that we wanted to provide service dogs free of charge to people with MS. A lot of people need them for stability, or they lose their sight, so they need it for that, or even just emotional support.
Sure.
So that we are going to train dogs for specific needs. So each person that we will, we will find out what their needs are and then train the dog specifically to them.
Is there a breed that works best for this? Do we know?
Yeah, well, we like our foundation, we deal with pit bull type dogs, and that's what we're going to continue dealing with.
Okay.
We know that they're very loyal, easy to train, And, you know, it's all about building awareness and support and, around
and that bond, right? The bond between the...
They have a great bond.
Right. The easier the dog is to train, the more you could probably keep the cost down, I would assume.
Well, for sure. I mean, it'll, no matter what, probably take 6 to 9 months to train each dog.
How about that?
It's pretty extensive. So, you know, all of our dogs also that we're going to be using rescue dogs, we also find that those are the best trained dogs. They're very happy to have a wonderful family home as well. So it's kind of a win-win situation.
Without a doubt. There's an event called A Fetching Affair, Bix, Friday night at Moonlight Studios. Are you going to be in a tux for this?
Let me get a mic. Tux, we're doing a casual summer look. I don't think a tux will be...
Cocktail attire.
Yeah. So I'm going to be wearing a suit. You would enjoy it. I missed last year's. I'm going to be here in full force this year and enjoying the night.
Right. Raise as much money as possible. And a couple of days later, I know there's a pause event that benefits you guys as well, right?
Yeah, we have a pause for a cause, it's called, with Tito's Vodka. And that's a 5K. We're really excited about that as well. You can come out, you can walk, run, do whatever you like.
I'm going to be mixing a little bit of both.
Right. Yeah, the vodka and the walking and the running.
Yeah, not so much running. Yeah.
Whatever powers you.
Well, Steve mentioned the NHL awards, which I thought you did an unbelievable job there. That had to be a very difficult emotional moment for you. But how about when the NHL, the foundation, gives you $20,000 for your foundation? I mean, you had no idea that was coming, did you?
No, we didn't. You know, it was overwhelming going into that night. You know, watching that video, I was breaking down. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to talk. And then get up there and, you know, me and Amanda, we made it through it. But, you know, for them to surprise me right after that, it just shows the NHL what the... I meant and what they mean to the players. And it was a nice little gift, and you know, it was a great night.
What are you doing to stay in shape? You look like you're in good shape. Running around chasing the kids.
I've been doing a little bit of cardio. I haven't lifted weight yet, so I gotta stay away from those. I'm not too fan when I was playing hockey lifting weights, but you know, I could enjoy being around the family and chasing the kids around.
Now, this normally in the summertime, this would be a time when I suppose you'd be skating hard and getting ready to play.
Yeah.
So that's why, Amanda, I brought up fishing. It wasn't just to disrupt your family. I just want to make sure he keeps busy.
Oh, he's been busy, that's for sure. There's been no need for fishing all the time.
Look at this. I can't win, right, man. I'm trying to help you out.
There are things around the house that need fixing. Please.
Exactly.
Right?
That's a good point. Are you handy?
Oh, I'm really handy. You name it, I got the hands for it.
That's a lie.
you fix things like I do with a wallet and a phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that pretty much how it works?
He's got a guy.
He's good at cutting the lawn.
And... Oh, I got great skills.
No, he's good. He's good with the kids and everything. It's really nice to have him around. It's definitely a change from what I'm used to, so it's nice.
I know you guys are living back in, home in Canada, but you're going to be back and forth, I'm sure, right? I mean, Chicago's always going to be a second home, I would think.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, we started a foundation here, and we have a lot of good friends, and obviously being part of the Blackhawks for so long, this is a second home for us.
You get a chance to get a hold of Brian Campbell and say you guys can sit on the porch and drink lemonade and watch the world go by now?
Yeah, he's he's actually joined the head of office, and I know he's had a great career of 17 years with with the Blackhawks and Buffalo and
all
Florida.
The other teams that threw him out.
Then to see him retire after a great career, and I'm sure he's I know he got a little emotion yesterday, but he's based in Hinsdale and he's going to be around this area, so it's sure going to bump into him the next couple days.
It's tough though. I mean, even though you guys had different paths here, once it's over, it's tough, but it's all part of moving on to this next phase of your life, and you guys look like you're off to a great start.
Yeah, it's been busy, but we're looking forward to it.
All right, so let's throw out the website too. The website for the foundation, because I assume the pause event is linked there as well?
Yes, yeah. BickleFoundation.org. Okay. You can get all the information for Fetching Affair, which is tomorrow, and the Pause for a Cause, which is on Sunday. We're really excited about it.
And if you can't make it, feel free to donate.
Correct.
Anytime, all year long, whenever you feel the urge. In honor of your healthy dog, feel free to donate and help out. Last words from you guys. You all good?
I just want to ask Brian if he's heard from a number of his... I know Tara Vinen was there last year, but all these former Blackhawks are ending up with Carolina now. Scott Darling and Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Marcus Kruger.
It's Blackhawk South.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Obviously, Darling contacted me before he signed. Just wanted a scoop of the team, the area, and things like that because he was leaning into, you know, that being his decision. And then with the expansion draft with Kruger and Van Riemsdyk, you know, that's part of the business. You're going to get traded, and obviously the market you know, here in Chicago, they need to, you know, move pieces to work things out. But it seems like a lot of
stupid salary cap.
ex-Blackhawks have been going to Carolina. Yeah. So, you know, look out for the Hurricanes next year. They could be
It could be good pickups.
See what happens.
And Brian Campbell had somewhat of a successful acting career when he did the soup in a sandwich. Now people are saying soup in a sandwich. But what about soup in a bickle?
Soup and a bickle.
Have you thought of acting
Bixen
a little
soup.
Bit? Bixen soup, right. Yeah.
I've seen that episode. It was kind of funny that he put that together, but maybe we'll cross paths. And
that's the kind of good work he's going to be doing in the front office.
Yeah, it's going
to
be fun.
It's great to see you guys. Congratulations on a nuts summer already, but go to the website one more time, which is?
BickleFoundation.org.
And support the event tomorrow night and Sunday's Pause event whenever you can. All the best, you guys.
Yeah, thanks
for over. 8:31. John McDonough will join us, talk a little Hawks convention in a few minutes. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Hawks.
8:42. Here we go with, can you believe this, the 10th Hawks convention? How about that?
We've been at every one.
Of course. And you, people should never forget that the man that invented the professional team convention is John McDonough. Long before people said, oh, it's the Ivy. Oh, it's the bars around Wrigley. No. It was John McDonough and Boy Wonder Jay Blunk. That's back when Jay and I both had hair. And making magic at Wrigley. And he's done it with the Blackhawks, has an amazing team over there. And we're excited about another Hawks convention just a couple days away. Hello, my fellow grandfather.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning, John.
Yeah, and Andrea's here as well. Let's start off with the important thing.
Andrea, good morning.
Hi, John.
Let's go to the grandchildren situation here. How is yours?
Oh, my beautiful granddaughter Riley is doing great. She'll be 2 on August 19th, and she is the light of my life. So she's great. And you?
Abigail Grace, 18 months old, and nothing but great. And every Monday afternoon, she hangs out with me and teaches me things.
Wow.
You guys are trying to guilt Dave, aren't you? Both you guys.
No, I just,
really have no control over
it. Uh-huh.
Dave's daughter, John, Dave's daughter-in-law was in here, and I was going, you know how it works, right? You know how to do this?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's funny. She hasn't talked to me since then. But I'm just trying to help Dave out. How are you? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Was just in Lima, Ohio. My daughter's getting married in October. She's marrying a young man who is the youngest of 12. He has 10 brothers. So it was quite a weekend.
Why? So you're still recovering. Well, at least you got a low-key weekend coming up this weekend for Hawks Convention. And just saw one of your alum, Brian Bickle and Amanda, were in here a few minutes ago. He looks great.
Yeah, he looks great. He looks trim. Rocky and I saw him in Las Vegas maybe about a month ago, and it's good to see that he's back in Chicago, and hopefully health is improving.
He seems to be managing the symptoms of MS well, and they've combined the foundation, so they've got a service dog foundation now. All right, so let's go back to when you invented the genre that every team does now. Back in the old Cubs days, how many people showed up at the first Cubs convention?
There were probably maybe 2,500, 3,000. I think it was an experiment, and I remember asking Harry Carey, I explained this to him, and we had a very good relationship, and I basically said, this is going to be a cocktail party, and you're going to be the honorary chairman. And we invited a number of players, and they showed up, and it grew. And in the third year, we sold out the Hyatt Regency. I think it was 15,000 people, and they were scalping tickets on Michigan Avenue. And it just became a bit of a franchise, Steve. Very, very proud of it. Other teams have emulated. Obviously, the Cubs convention has been very successful, but proud of the fact that the Blackhawks have adopted it, and we've sold out. This will be the 10th in a row.
Yeah, in the moment it is announced, tickets go, and people are all over it. Talk about your team for a second, and I don't mean the team on the ice, the people that have to put this together, because it's got to be a year-long deal for some of these folks, isn't it?
You know, it really is. Jay Blank and Pete Hassan and Brad Howe and a number of other people spend a lot of time putting this together. And you try as hard as you can to make this unique. And every year is going to have different sessions and different presentations and obviously different players. So, you know, these people come in the middle of the summer when it's 85, 90 degrees out. It's absolutely beautiful. And they decide that they want to stay in the hotel for 48 hours straight and celebrate their allegiance to the Blackhawks. So, you know, we try to make it as different as we possibly can. Greatly appreciate WGN being a good partner. I think you're going to be involved this weekend, Steve.
Yes, Dave and I will do the opening ceremonies on Friday night. And I've asked Dave to not spend too much time lauding me before he introduces me.
Yeah, because that's what I normally do.
Looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Good, good. Always love having you guys.
You talk about the genre that Steve described, and certainly there have been some successful fan conventions like this, but also sometimes it doesn't quite work. Teams have tried it, and it hasn't been the success that the Blackhawks convention is, that the Cubs convention has been. What is it about your convention, John, and maybe your players that kind of makes it a better overall experience for the people who come out there this weekend?
That's a good question, Dave. You know, it's a question that the late Dallas Green had once posed to me in the late 80s once we got this off the ground. And he said, what do you think makes this successful? I said, it's three things. It's players, players, and players. And if you get strong representation from your current team, you get strong representation from your alumni, from your broadcasters, you kind of knock down that barrier between the fans and management and broadcasters and players where you can ask them questions. So it's about having access. And this concept was hatched long before sports talk radio. So it kind of opened the door, I think, that people, the first time they really would have an opportunity to ask a general manager about a trade or about a draft choice or players about their childhood or where they played in college and things. So, but I would say as long as you have buy-in from the players and the former players, and I'm looking at our list, we probably have more than 60 current and former players that want to come to this event. And I think they really enjoy it as well. I think many of them are in disbelief. Like, why are all of these people here in the middle of the summer? But I think they're awestruck at the magnitude of the event.
We were talking to DeBrinket. When was this? Yesterday?
Yesterday. Day before? Alex DeBrinket.
And
Steve, do you think I didn't hear that? Is that what you're implying?
No. I knew you were, but I was amused by the fact that he again has no idea what he's getting into. Because you see these kids, they come in, and a lot of them are just good Canadian kids, farm kids, and they come in, and their eyes get unbelievably wide as it's just this love fest, and everybody wants to say hi as they try to negotiate the hotel. So it's a cool thing to see. Now, being around baseball for all those years and knowing all of sports, it's my opinion that NHL players are the most accessible. Has that changed in your 10 years?
No, I think hockey players are very accessible. The baseball players were very, very accessible as well. I remember the first time Lou Piniella came to a convention, and I was trying to explain to him, your buddy Lou, and I was trying to explain to him what the convention was like. I said, well, you know, it's the Yankees are big. The Yankees are big. It's 27, 28 world championships in Yankee Stadium and the rest of it. But there's just a different buzz in the middle of winter here. And I remember him saying, I've never seen anything like that before in my life. But I think that was his Cubs baptism.
Last word, Andrea. You need tickets for the weekend? Because I got a guy.
Well, I don't. But, you know, I get. Oh, yeah, okay. Who's your guy? Because I got a guy, too. John.
Yes. You always have me.
Thank you, John. That's awesome.
The last word from John McDonough, a guy that we all are very fond of, and you are as well. who transitions to the front office, and that's Brian Campbell. You know, you got a great job, obviously. You're running the Blackhawks. But it's got to be tough when you see a player who has to make that decision at the time they have to make it. I assume you guys are excited about having him now in a suit and tie.
Absolutely. You know, players, I think when they first get into sports, and I'm sure you're both aware of this, the impact, if they treat people in the front office well and they're congenial and respectful, you know, you never know where all of this is going to lead. We do look at the Blackhawks as one big family, and we want these former players to play some kind of role. You know, we have Ben Eager, and we have Daniel Carcillo, and now we have, you know, obviously our ambassadors. But, you know, to have Brian come back, and this conversation started, you know, a while back when he was struggling whether he wanted to retire or not. But, you know, he wants to learn. He's a great guy. Obviously, I've heard all of his interviews with you. He's interesting. And the best part about this is, you know, he wants to dive right in. So we think he's going to be a great fit.
Going to be a great weekend. And after the wedding planning weekend of last weekend and now this weekend, I assume you'll take next weekend off. But John McDonough, the boss of the Blackhawks, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
All right, Steve. Thank you. Good talking to you. Thank you.
It's John McDonough. How long have you known McDonough?
I've known 35 years? At least. I first knew Johnny worked for the Chicago Sting soccer team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's going that's back.
You should see the stuff that Dave and John McDonough have on each other. It's unbelievable.
I don't even want to know.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We continue live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. You know what show this is? 949.
Inching closer every day.
What's planned for 950?
Nothing. It's a Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday. We'll come in. Probably start about 6. But show 1000 is going to be an extravaganza, you can be sure. We have a very special guest in studio, a couple of very special guests. But before we meet a true sports legend, let's meet his buddy Dave. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Steve?
Nice to see you. Tell everybody what you do.
President and CEO of Special Olympics Illinois.
And Dave Breen, how long have you done it?
In that position, about 6 years, with the organization, about 30.
And the mission is?
Mission is year-round sports and training for individuals with intellectual disabilities.
Who founded the Special Olympics?
Well, that's a good question. It actually was organized first games in 68 by Justice Ann Burke.
Uh-huh.
And Eunice Kennedy Shriver really came in July 20th, 1968, and really made it a worldwide movement.
As I heard the story, Mrs. Shriver was not getting the proper thump, she thought, for the event early on. And she started storming up and down the halls of Congress and said, you're going to support this, and you're going to support this, as maybe only a Kennedy could.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories about the first games. And there's another story about using the name Olympics that Mayor Daley had a little influence on with Avery Brundage from the IOC.
Because the IOC originally wasn't crazy about the idea.
They weren't, and Avery owned a hotel in Chicago.
Taxes were about to go up if he didn't play along.
There were going to be some ordinance violations, the way I
right,
heard it.
Right, so. right. That's good use of the mayor's office, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to meet one of the athletes next week. But in studio, Andrea, Scott Wilson is here. Scott, it is a pleasure to meet you, sir.
It was nice to meet you, Steve.
And you were at the first Special Olympics.
Yes, I was.
As an athlete.
That's right.
How old were you then? Ballpark it. You don't have to tell me your exact age, Big Shot.
I was about like in my 40s.
No, not back then you weren't, because that'd make you quite old then. I bet you were probably 10, 11, 8.
14.
Wow.
14. Like I said, 14.
Yeah, there we go, Janice. You got it.
All right, 14 years old. I got to say, you look good.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what sport did you play back then?
Oh, sport?
Yeah, what'd you do? What was your event?
Okay, it goes like this.
I'm listening.
Let's see here.
You got me.
50-yard dash.
Standing Broad jump. Sure.
And softball throw.
Nicely done. Which was your best event? Hard to pick, probably.
The 50-yard dash, though, but I need to know to lose some weight, though, so I can go faster.
You do not. Let me just say, no, you don't. You look good.
And back then, you were pretty streamlined, though, I bet.
Yeah.
I got to say, now, if I did the math correctly, and I'm pretty sure I did, you're 63 now.
That's right, 63.
Then you look great. Right.
Fantastic. Looks great. Yeah. Yes.
This is a lifetime of dedication to sports will do for you.
Yes.
Not just sitting around talking about it, actually participating.
Yeah. No.
And are you excited about this next Special Olympics?
Yes. I'm hoping that I would be able to go.
I hope you will, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the organization needs you to help promote the event. And, Dave, what do people need to know?
They need to know that we're bringing the world back to Chicago. So July 20th through the 22nd next year, we're going to have a bunch of events going on. We're going to actually have an eternal flame of hope that will be erected at Soldier Field. That will be between the Field Museum and Soldier Field. There's a unified soccer cup that's going to be going on. And cool. that we're going to bring 24 teams from all over the world. And at the first games, there were 1,000 athletes from 26 states in Canada, and it's now a 5 million athlete, 170 country movement all over the world. So we're hoping that everybody's going to come to Chicago for that weekend. We've got a lot of events planned besides those two things. We're also going to be doing a concert, and then we're also going to do Change the Game Day, where some of the people and individuals can come back and get on the field at Soldier Field to do some of the activities.
How great is that?
Game.
That's cool.
That's excellent.
Super cool.
And when did you meet Scott?
You know what? This is the first time I met Scott.
Well, what an honor for you.
It is. It's I've known about six or seven of the first game athletes that'll be later today at Soldier Field, and Scott's going to be speaking on their behalf. But he's from Indiana.
You bet.
And we love having him.
Good Hoosier right here in studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Good Hoosier and a big sports fan, too.
Hey.
What's your you got a favorite team?
Well, I don't know exactly my favorite, though, but there's the Railcats.
The Railcats?
Yes, Railcats.
The Gary Railcats. How about that?
Yeah.
I got to say, Scott, I didn't see that coming.
You haven't seen that coming,
No,
huh?
I did not know that would be your pick.
He did a great Jack Brickhouse impression out in the hallway, though. So he's got some cub in him, too, I think.
You know, and I got to say, I heard him doing a little sports casting while we were in the break. Oh, there you go.
See? Yeah.
Holy cow, Harry Carey.
Dave.
Wish you were still here.
Dave, watch your back.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, watch your back.
No. He's got the pipes. He's got the voice.
As I said to Scott, bring it on.
You know, it takes a community to not just take care of the Special Olympics games every year, but to support the community. And, you know, having an older brother with special needs who didn't have these kind of opportunities, I'm always touched by this and impressed by it. And I know for a long time, you worked for Strack and Van Til, right? You were a backer?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I started at, I started at Wiseway on,
Didn't they turn into Strack and Van Til?
Wiseway.
Yeah.
It was on Broadway, though.
Well, that's all right. I'm not going. But I appreciate you trying to tell me where it was.
The one now is Ultra right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you just love people. That's what I'm told, right? You love people. You're bagging. You'd probably carry their groceries out if they were older folks, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And what do you do for fun now?
What I do now?
Yeah, for fun.
What I do for fun? Well, I.
You watch a lot of TV?
Yeah.
I heard you're a bowler.
Yes.
Oh.
I email, though, but only one thing, though. When it's 8:30, I was supposed to be off the email, though, and...
And you're breaking the rules.
Yeah, I'm breaking the rules.
Just bend them a little bit. Just bend them a little bit. You don't have to break them.
You're an Olympian.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, I really should not be doing that.
All right, well, we'll just say you're going to watch that. Yeah. Some of this stuff we don't want to make public declarations. Because if you're on email at 8:45, I don't want anybody to know.
No, not that. I have a time limit so I can be off of that.
I understand. Yeah. Yeah. I understand.
You broke the rules in 68, though, didn't you?
Broke the rules? No. There wasn't any email that time.
That's true.
He's not lying.
No.
He's not lying. You had to write a letter then.
Yeah.
Tell me about the 10-pin Tigers.
Well, let's see. There
was that your bowling team?
Yeah, that's my bowling team. And
you got your own shoes?
No, I have an old coach's name, Mike and Teresa Petriska.
Oh, they were the coaches?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good. How good a bowler were you, or are you? Like,
well,
do you know what your best score might have been?
No, but...
How about a 220?
Oh, man, it was...
I heard you rolled a 220. You know what?
Yeah, one time I did.
You know what a 220 is for me? Three games.
Oh, man.
Three? That's being generous there, man.
I like to bowl a 300 sometimes.
I bet you can do it.
Yeah, in a
league?
All of my family, you know, tell me, though, write down your scores.
Oh, they want you to write down your scores?
Yes.
You have people for you.
Yeah, email the scores.
You got people that do that
for
you.
And like some of these scores, like not good, but I can do better than that.
So Scott, you only keep track of the good scores.
Yes,
I understand.
And those he can email whenever he wants.
You're darn right, you can.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You're darn right.
That's kind of like you in golf, Steve.
A little bit, yes. Yeah, a little bit.
Yes.
Gets you in trouble. Scott, there's a lot of little kids.
Yes.
That are getting into their first Special Olympics now. Is there something you want to say about the Special Olympics that makes it special for you?
Yeah, it's...
I mean, is it the people, the volunteers?
It's the fastest sport.
Is it the chance to compete and the chance to do all that good stuff?
Yes, the chance to compete.
All right. Well, it's an honor to meet you.
It was nice to meet you.
And you do look great, man.
Yeah, you know, what they have now is a game called bocce.
Yeah, lawn bowling.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, lawn bowling's another word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bowled on the grass.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet you're good at that, too.
Yeah.
But I hope you keep competing, because whatever you're doing, it's keeping you a good-looking dude.
Yes.
You know you're a good-looking dude. I can tell.
Yeah, and I need to get myself together about some things, too. Really.
Scott, I think you're doing just fine.
Thank you.
But anytime you want to come back and do a little on-air therapy, we can do that as well.
Yeah, sure.
Scott Wilson and his family's here as well, and they were nice, nice to come by. Scott, you want to say hi to anybody before we go?
Yes, I would like to say...
just anybody. Anybody you want to say hi to?
Okay, if anybody's watching WGN television...
CLTV, sure.
Yeah. I like to say hi to Tom Skilling, though, because my dad used to always watch him on TV all the time.
Well, there you go. Wave to that camera right up there. Yeah, there you go.
Hey.
Give that away. There you go.
Yeah. News.
And, Dave, what do we need to know about the upcoming games?
We just love to see people come out. You can get all the information on SpecialOlympics50.org.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, that's right.
You too, and thanks for having us.
And maybe we can get Tom Skilling to sign a little picture over to you.
Yep, we're going
to
get an address.
Yeah.
We'll send it to you on behalf of your dad.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, let him know, though, that my email address is Scott Wilson.
Oh, don't say it on the air. Don't say it on the air. Scott, you say it on the air, it's going to be nothing but chicks.
Yeah. Whoa.
922, back after this on 720 WGN. Yeah. It is 927, and what a cool thing having our new friend, superstar 50th anniversary athlete in studio. Huh?
He is fantastic. Love
Scott
him.
Scott Wilson.
By the way, you should kind of tell when we were taking a big group photo.
Yeah, I went to shake Scott's hand, and he was a little busy hugging Andrea again.
After he had just hugged Sandberg a few times.
Yeah, Sandberg got three, so you're two behind,
right,
I think.
But then he dropped me like a bad habit when he said, do you know Cheryl Scott?
Well, he said Cheryl Burton.
Right. And
Cheryl
then,
Scott's a little young for him. So he said Cheryl Burton and Kathy Brock.
Right.
So I know Kathy Brock listens occasionally. Kath, just know we're sending him over for a hug.
Right. Oh, he was great.
But he's a good guy. Good guy. How good does he look?
He looks great.
Right?
He's an athlete. Olympian.
You know what they say, Dave? I don't know if you're aware of this. 63 is the new 24.
That's what I'm banking on.
But you know what's funny, though? He's a gold medalist in the 50-yard dash and said, oh, I need to drop a little bit of weight. I'm thinking, how about that?
Right?
He'd crush all of us.
Yeah,
in the 50
he's looking great. And plus, I don't know what that comment was at the end where he goes, I got to get my act together. I love that guy. 928, as we continue, I have not seen the shows because of the late hour, and I haven't had a chance to DVR them, but Colbert is doing his Russia week this week.
Mm-hmm.
Colbert is, he has gone from third to first, ratings wise by continually hounding Donald Trump. Personally, I'm against it, as you know, I think it's,
right.
In the words of the president, I think it's very unfair. But as far as the Trump-Putin extra meeting goes, here's Colbert from last night's Russia Week.
After their public meeting at the G20, we just found out that Trump had an undisclosed second meeting with Vladimir Putin. Really? How stupid can you be? You're in the middle of what could be the worst scandal in U.S. history. People think you colluded with the president of a hostile foreign power. Then you go out of your way to meet with him again and you don't tell anybody? That's like if O.J. does get out on parole and immediately goes glove shopping. Hey, they all fit. Look how well they fit. The meeting actually lasted as long as an hour. Gentlemen, if your collusion lasts longer than an hour, please consult the FBI.
Back with the big story. What's the feature now?
O.J. Simpson.
Is he going to get out? We'll find out if he is paroled today for an October release coming up later today.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Let's get our teacher friend back on for a second. Come over to this microphone if you would here.
How's it going?
Identify yourself again.
I'm Carla Russell Mensch. I'm a teacher at McAuliffe Elementary School.
And been teaching eighth grade for how long?
Well, I've taught eighth, fourth, sixth, and special ed. So
a little bit of everything.
10 years.
Right. Eighth graders today.
Yes.
How much of, do you allow them to have cell phones in school?
No, we actually collect them in the morning.
Oh, you do?
It's a struggle, I will say.
I think that's great.
They're supposed to turn them in the morning, and then we, every teacher has a basket, and then at the end of the day, we give them back.
How many kids sneak and grab them?
Right, I was just going to say.
Right.
Sometimes there's the sneaker. And or they'll keep it in their own book bag in the closet, and then while we're doing work, you'll hear one go off in the middle of the class.
Are they on? I mean, is that kind of the age? Are they already on, say, the Snapchat and the Facebook and the Twitter? Already full bloom.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
And are they doing any hand? I know my son is 26 now, and my son felt like he was the first generation that couldn't write a hostage note well enough to save his own life because all these kids are digital.
Yes.
And all they do is keyboard all day.
Yep.
Is the handwriting as bad as I think it is?
It is. And actually, I struggle with my own two sons for that same reason, that they were technically never taught handwriting. And
they don't use it. And it's like anything else. You don't use it, you don't get better.
You don't use it. And so they don't make it a priority, although sometimes I guess parents are going to have to come in and help out for that because the handwriting, the penmanship, the old ways of doing it is long forgotten.
Now, you know, you look at kids in eighth grade, and they're not little kids anymore, but they're not big kids either.
Mm-mm.
Is it a tough age to teach?
I actually love it. It's fun because we get to read so many great things, learn about so many new things, and they sometimes get my jokes.
Oh, nice. Right?
Well, nicely done. Well, I love your smile. It's great to have you here. Where'd the interest in show business come from? Were you an actor or something in school or performer of some kind?
No, not really. In high school, I did dance. And actually, I will say shout out to the Janes. I was in my 30s, I was in a dance troupe here in Chicago. We performed around it. Shubas, Fitzgerald.
Is that right?
And
Shubas on Southport.
Yeah, it was a 60s.
You must still dance. In the words of President Trump, you're in great shape. Remember, who did he say that to? The First Lady of France. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought there was the reporter from Ireland, but I'm confusing
that was
my
somebody
stories.
Else.
Yeah.
So that was fun, but mostly I guess I just like to hear myself speak.
Well, you have a great voice, and I appreciate your appreciation for fine talk radio.
Yes, I love it. I find this very interesting, and you both, all three are so intelligent and
Dave, not so
entertaining.
So sweet.
Let's see. What?
So is that nice.
Thank you, Carla.
Yeah.
Come back anytime.
All right, so Carla, two sons.
Two sons.
What are their names?
Dean and Adam.
Okay. There's no chance they're listening now. They're sleeping in.
They are definitely sleeping in. Adam had a sleepover, and I actually invited Dean to come with me this morning. And he said it wasn't in his best interest. That's exactly the words he used.
Isn't it great?
And you want to say hi to anybody at your school or anybody else you want to mention?
I want to shout out to all the McAuliffe Rockets and the graduates of the 2017 class, my first eighth grade there at McAuliffe.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. And I look forward to the next year. McAuliffe is a great school. My principal,
and
Ryan Belleville.
Let's get school started on time.
Let's
go, Springfield.
Let's fund schools. Equitable education is
let's
important.
Let's get it done.
Let's get social workers when we need them in the schools.
Right. This is not a union thing. This is not a non-union thing. This is a do the right thing.
This is a do the right thing. Thank you, Steve, because I can't express it enough.
Right.
And I'm kind of frankly tired of hearing people say, oh, teachers, they're off for the summer and they don't, you know, it's not even about anything about teaching and the union isn't fighting over personal.
No.
We just want what I see in the North Side, I want to see all over the city.
Yeah.
And
the poorest kid in the city deserves the same education as the richest family's kid in the city.
Thank you. And the same access to arts, access
music.
To
sports, access to math,
fields,
science, technology.
Right. Yes. Yes.
As a matter of fact, we're going to talk a little STEM here coming up in a second.
Yeah.
So, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, and
thanks
thank
for
you
being
again
here,
so
producer
much.
Of the day. We
got to
fire
you,
either Jake or Sandberg. We haven't decided who goes yet.
No.
It's 9:48. We're going to come back, and we'll another guest in studio here in just a second. I'll explain when we come back in 720 WGN. The Chicago Fire have been tearing it up, and we are pleased to welcome in studio. By the way, the Chicago Fire have 2,814 coaches. This coach is on every level. One of them is here is Brian Roberts. Brian, your title's too long. What's an easy way to sum up what you do?
I work with the academy component of our first team, the youth players. So I'm director of a PASS program.
And I want to say hi to one of your guys, Patrick Duty, who I coached as a kid, who grew up in my neighborhood with my son. He's a great guy.
Former academy player with us.
Yeah. He came up in the academy, right?
Yes. And
Chicago product.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
pretty cool.
He's a Chicago native.
And he's a good guy. Sitting next to you is Catherine Greenspun from Project Infinite Green. What is that?
We're actually an after-school STEM education program.
Science, technology, and math.
Yes, engineering and math. Yeah.
And engineering and math. And how are the fire helping you guys?
The fire has sent out their coaches to help train our children and teach them the physics and math behind soccer.
And is Andy part of this?
He is.
All right, Andy, this is your big show business break. Did you realize how much science, technology, engineering, and math was involved in soccer?
No.
But now you know?
Yes.
What type of thing? Explain it to me, because I'm not that smart.
Because in one of the days, they told us how to stand. So they told us to, so say you're versing another team and they have their lefty.
Yeah.
So you make them go to the right side, so you have the upper hand.
So it's positioning, coach. Would that be some coach? Is that physics? Is that
yes.
Well, actually, Catherine, I should ask you. What part of STEM is positioning?
So what they're teaching them is to push their opponents off their center of gravity.
Oh.
Yeah, and make them work their weak side.
That's interesting. And does it? How about when they're kicking, you have to know exactly where the ball is going to go, so you have to position yourself, right or left of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's STEM. That's anticipation.
Isn't that cool?
That's
right,
because
you
thing.
Have to figure out exactly which way it's going to go.
That's exactly right. How old are you, Andy?
11.
You want to play pro soccer someday?
Yes.
Because I got a guy at the fire I know. He's sitting right over here. So play your cards right. Infinite Green started how?
Well, actually, it started about 8 years ago. I was trying to find a way to inspire and engage students in STEM education and the subject matter in a way that was interesting to them. So we took sports and energy.
Well, smart of you. And in STEM education, we know that statistically the country has fallen behind. Is it a budget thing or is it a priority thing? Because it sounds like when you made it a priority, you got creative and found a way to make it a priority for the kids too.
Yeah, I think it's both a budget and kind of it's an everything thing.
Okay.
You know? But as a very grateful, proud American citizen, I think it's a responsibility for everybody to do what they can to support our children. And this was one way that I felt that I could help.
Now, you work with kids all the time, Coach, but I assume you see some of these kids, and you can tell at 10 or 11 or 12 years old if somebody's special, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And the academy, are these elite kids, or are these a lot of kids just getting a chance to play?
Yes. The academy part of the fire is certainly the elite players, but we do a lot of work in the community in our grassroots program. So we have access for most children.
I don't know if you noticed, but Brian has an accent.
I know. I love listening to him.
Yeah, he's from Tinley Park.
No. hey.
Where did you play?
Born and raised in Dublin.
Oh,
yeah. God. So I ended up being a school teacher in England and played at university while I was training to be a teacher.
Okay. And did you play club level?
I did, club and college.
Okay. And highest level of achievement professionally outside of, I mean, as a player I'm talking about?
I would say university level. Yeah, okay. Playing Division I in the UK was a
Were you guys pretty good?
Yes, we were.
And yeah. Who are some of the guys that you came across who are still out there?
Oh, most of them are gone now. Most of them are retired and are coaching in the game.
Are you old enough to have guys retired now?
Yes, I am indeed.
You know, this running, soccer, like Premier League guys, how much running are they doing in a game? Is it 10 miles? I heard 10 miles
at
one point.
Absolutely, yeah. Some of the central midfielders, the engines of the game are running up to 8 to 10 miles in a game.
8 to 10 miles a game.
You run that how much and how that far how much?
Well, if somebody wanted me to run 10 miles, yeah. I'd get an Uber for the first 9.5.
Right.
And then I'd split the final half mile up over the course of the year. Because, you know, you don't want a strain. You know, you don't want shin splints, things like that. So when you take science, and back to Catherine now, when you take science, technology, engineering, and math, which of those four components comes in most in soccer? To me, it seems like it'd be science and engineering.
Well, so I would say science and math because it's physics and math predominantly.
Okay.
So you're calculating angles, velocity, acceleration, force, all of those things on the front end of playing soccer. But you do have a lot of engineering because if you think about soccer, you have the engineering of the ball,
right.
The material science,
right.
The uniforms, the cleats, even the turf fields. There's a ton of engineering that goes into the fields.
And aren't all sports using technology heavily now?
Absolutely. Running analytics on their play.
Right. So you have the analytics you can refer back to, not just about your opponent, but about your own play.
Correct.
Well, it's great to meet you. Now, for Project Infinite Green, what do you guys need? Do you need help from the public? What do we do for you?
It would be great if we can have help from the public. Any science or STEM-based companies that want to send their professionals, their experts out, because what we really look for is partnering with partners that have experts in the field that can mentor our children, because the learning piece is so important.
Yeah, it'd be huge.
Yes.
That's how you pay it forward.
Absolutely.
You have a website you want to throw out that people could contact you through?
Yes, www.projectinfinitegreen.org, or we're on Facebook.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
Andy, good luck with your career. Okay. You said you're 10?
11.
Well, you have some time. Sixth grade?
No, fifth. Not yet. I'm going to sixth.
Yeah, going to sixth. You married?
No.
Okay. All right. Nice to see you guys. And a salute to the Chicago Fire, not just on great play on the field, but obviously doing a lot of great stuff off the field. I don't think you guys get enough credit for all the community involvement you have, so I salute you for that.
Global sport coming to Chicago, that's for sure.
Yeah, go support the Chicago Fire. For parents and family members and others interested in the academy and the youth side of the fire, just go to the fire website, I assume, follow the links.
Yep.
All right, man. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you getting up. Now let's go work on my game. Back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.